You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al.
Yeehaw!
I'm back.
It's nice to have you back. I didn't put my earphones on. What a crazy day. Hey, hello, everybody, and welcome. It's Dave's Corner Garage, and it's a pleasure to have you with us. Today, we have Darren Bossens joining us. Darren is with, we all know, Salen Tire. So if you got tire questions, he's the guy to ask. I mean, the reality is, good morning, Darren. How are you?
Good morning, David. How are you?
As long as it's not a question of how much money is my RSP and can I afford to retire?
Yeah. No, I won't have the answer for that.
To retire or retire? I like that.
Either or.
Dan Park. Dan Park has a company called ClutchCanada.ca, and what they do is offer used cars to the public without a dealership site. I guess it's all done by the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so Dan is going to join us today. He's the only one that does it in Canada, and it's an interesting concept. He's what's called in the industry as a disruptor.
What's that mean?
You take whatever the norm is, and you opposite it.
Oh, so it's like an S disturber.
It's probably
a disruptor.
And we're also going to have things such as, I got to tell you this morning, what a great day it is. I hit every green light coming down.
Wow.
You better buy a lottery ticket today because Redinger, all the way from Eglinton Avenue on Dufferin, hit every green light until I had to make the left turn here at Liberty.
See how simple life can be for him? He's happy. A couple green lights.
Little things make me happy.
It's good. Nothing wrong with that.
But if there's a red light behind you, then you got a problem.
Yeah, when you hit that first red light, you go, I'm cooked. I'm done. Yeah.
Well, you know, when I always look down the road, and I always look who's making a left turn, and if the side is making a left turn, I move the lane over, no matter who's in there.
So you're weaving and bobbing.
Bobbing and weaving. But I did hit every green light, which is really
no
fast.
Red light cameras coming on to catch
you?
Nothing.
You were talking about that red light camera.
Yeah, those are fun. Those. You get a little letter in the mail going, geez, my car looks really good on camera.
Surprise.
Wait a minute. That's how much?
$300.
$325.
That's crazy.
If you want to go to court, you can meet Officer... who's nowhere in sight.
Yes.
He's probably watching it from a drone.
I couldn't have murdered my wife because, look, I was on the camera. We'll be right back with Darren Bossens from Salen Tire, and we're going to have some serious tire questions.
Exactly. You've got a car care question of any kind, specifically tires, or maybe that old S-Box of yours won't start, and you want to know why, you can give us a call.
Is that in a new Nintendo game, the S-Box?
The S-Box.
Played that a couple times.
Between Dave, Darren, and myself, and, of course, our studio audience, we have a million years of automotive experience here. Give us a call right now. We got to go. We'll be right back.
All righty. We're back. We have Darren Bossens with us from Salen Tire, and we have a bunch of questions. I put it on the web, and a whole bunch of questions came back, and one of them was, is a run flat tire actually repairable?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Depending on the damage to the tire or where the hole or whatever's happened to the tire.
So explain what a run flat is first off.
So a run flat tire is a tire, typically when they manufacture it, the sidewalls are very thick. So if you lose air, if air somehow, you know, through a nail, the valve, whatever, you lose all the air, you can still drive on it for 80 kilometers at 80 kilometers an hour. So if you're on the highway and you got to get to the next stop, you can still drive on that tire without wrecking your rim. It'll actually, the thick sidewalls will actually hold the rim up off the ground.
Which is interesting. Why do they have air in tires in the first place?
Well, that's where the industry's going, Dave.
Is that right?
Yeah, they've already got construction and industrial tires. You've probably seen them on TV or in certain places where there's no air at all. They're just rubber veins tire where it actually holds the tire up. Now they're making, I just saw a few weeks ago, they're starting to make medium truck tires the same
as run flats.
Yeah.
Now, you know, but what I don't like is the fact that, you know, a run flat tire is repairable,
yes.
Provided that, yes, as you said, that the hole is in the tread portion of the tire rather
Correct.
Than the sidewall.
Yeah.
But in both cases, my wife got flat tires.
Okay.
On
tires,
her run flats.
Plural?
Yes, more than one. And
can you come pick me up?
And they were not repairable.
Because it was probably
a cut in the sidewall
or
something.
Close to the where the tread beats the sidewall.
And the whole point being that, well, now it cost me twice as much money.
Very expensive tires.
To buy the tires. So,
yes, it happened to me in the Crossfire, and it actually turned to powder inside. It was grinding itself to smithereens inside.
Which is what a normal tire will do.
Yes.
You know, if you drive on it when it's flat.
Definitely.
And when you take out it, because you see at that point, the rim itself is rubbing on the inside of the tire. So to the point where if you take out enough material, you can see the cords and everything, and then that tire's not repairable anymore.
Fascinating.
Yeah, if you get low pressure and you're able to get to a facility quick enough, and there's just a nail in the tread face, you can usually get that repaired. But if you've actually run 80 kilometers an hour for 80 kilometers, that tire's probably going to be toast. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting how many cars don't have spares.
Well, which is why cars have had to go to run flats.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Salen has run flats.
Yes, they do.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a huge range of sizing.
Yeah.
Not a lot of cars have run flats, but we have a run flat.
The crazy thing is, too, you know, when you don't have a spare, they don't give you when you have the run flats, in a lot of cases, you don't get a jack and you don't have a spare.
No, you get a can where you're supposed to stick it into the intake and blow it back up.
Yes. Foam.
You'd be better off giving you a can that you inhale and start laughing or something like that, because that's about as good as it is.
That'll fix the problem.
Hey? Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't care.
But you were saying something just a minute ago, what if you take off your snow tires too soon, you could have insurance issues?
You could, because various companies have different dates that they want you to have them on by and off by.
Right.
So if you take them, I heard a story a couple of weeks back where the customer had taken them off prematurely, because as you know, we get spring early in some cases, taking them off prior to that date, ended up getting in an accident. His insurance basically was null and void. So they wouldn't cover the damages.
Talk about insurance.
I know.
Well, it's amazing. I didn't know that.
They make the rules. They said, well, fine, we're going to provide you with a discount on your yearly fee.
Or so.
But here, the other part of the deal is you're saying you're putting on the winter tires, you better have them on for this period of time.
Yeah, I was in Las Vegas and I didn't pay a fine and they canceled my driver's license. And when I was out of Ontario.
Okay.
So now I'm come home. And I got pulled over, and he says, your license is expired.
Hang on, you mean your Ontario driver's license?
Insane,
because you got a ticket in Las Vegas?
No, I was away, and I didn't pay the fine.
But the ticket was from Ontario, though.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So I ask, if I would have gotten an accident and my license was expired, what happens? Well, they don't pay your damages, but they pay the third-party damage.
Okay.
So whatever you hit, they would fix.
But not your vehicle.
But not your car, your vehicle, or anything internally.
Well, I know from a friend that had this happen, they apparently send out letters if you do get your license suspended, but I've got a few friends in cases where they didn't get any letter.
Nothing.
Yeah, they found out at the side of the road when they got pulled over.
Which is true. And if you're out there and you're questioning anything, I would check if you have a license that actually works. Right? Another question was, does nitrogen actually make a difference in tires?
It makes a difference to the point of the fact that it doesn't permeate the casing as oxygen does.
Right, because the molecules are bigger.
The molecules are larger, exactly. And no matter what, even if, that's why we tell everybody it's very important to check your pressures on at least a monthly basis, because the pressure will automatically permeate the casing a bit and you'll end up losing a bit.
So you're saying even in a perfect world, when the rim is clean and the tire is sealed properly, you're still going to lose air.
Absolutely, yes.
And you have to put back nitrogen, or you can put back air?
Well, if you have nitrogen in your tires, which a lot of times it comes from OE, you can put air into it after just to pump it up. But for the effects of nitrogen, which are also isn't just the fact that it permeates the casing less than oxygen, it's the tire typically will run cooler. It's not that important on cars that running around the highways and roads. That was more for
Tracks.
No, for like the,
Racing.
For racing. So, you gotta be careful of that.
So they charge you when you're going to the tire store and you put on your new tires.
Yep.
There's a charge for nitrogen?
I don't think much anymore. When it first came out, there was typically
the machines were so expensive.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's mostly part of the service now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Al, you put nitrogen in yours?
I do, but only from a chemical background, I'm going to tell you, because the air we breathe, and this has been my point,
yes,
the air we breathe is consisted of 80% what?
Nitrogen.
Nitrogen. Thank you very much. So seriously, so what's that other 20% of a little bit of oxygen and a bunch of smog and stuff?
What they're saying is the moisture, right? And the oxygen will actually oxidize the inside of the tire and the rim.
But you need at least, I think it's 97 or 98% nitrogen in that tire for it to have the full effect of it.
Okay.
So, right. So in other words, so if it does run low and you decide you're going to put 10 pounds of air in it because you got to put it back up again.
You've lost the effect of the beneficial
qualities of the nitrogen, at which point you'd have to go into the store, take the valve out, get all of inside out,
purge
and
it.
Then fill it up with nitrogen again.
Correct.
Can you imagine a guy standing there, hey, what are you doing?
Let my air out.
And if you're not sure what the manufacturers have done to indicate to you whether, you know, what that air or that stuff is in your tire, in most cases, if they put nitrogen in, they put a green cap on the valve.
That's right. There's a green,
correct.
I was going to say.
Yep.
There's a green ring or there's a green cap.
Yeah.
That'll tell you.
That indicates it.
Green indicating that it costs you more money because you had to buy the nitrogen, eh?
Well, I think it's prevalent in the construction industry and in trucking, right?
Yeah.
But question, Dave, if you beat the crap out of the vending machine, the slot machine, because you lost money in Vegas, would your insurance company cover it? And would it depend if you still had your winter tires on?
Wait, I got a question for you when we come back.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. Give us a call. We're here to answer any and all of your mechanical and tire-related problems. We'll be right back.
Alrighty, welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. My name's Dave Redinger. I'm with Darren Bostons from Salen Tire.
And me. I'm here. I'm back from my lovely vacation. You may have noticed that I have a golden bronze color right now.
By the way, if you want to watch us, we're on facebook.com/ Dave's Corner Garage.
Wait, I'm going to show them my difference. Can I do that?
No.
Okay, never mind.
Alrighty, so listen, there's a guy sitting in his living room reading the paper.
Uh-huh.
In the back door, the dog is barking because he wants to get in.
Yes.
And in the front door, his wife is ringing the bell.
Uh-huh.
Who does he let in first?
I know the answer, so I'm going to have to disqualify myself. Darren, how about you?
I'd have to say the dog.
You're right, because when the dog gets in, he stops barking.
Exactly.
Little humor there. Woo! Very little. Okay, we're going to go to the phones just quickly. We have Bruce is on the phone, and he's got a Ranger. That must be an older vehicle. Morning, Bruce.
Pick up.
Hello, Bruce. How you doing?
Hello, everybody again.
You got a question for us?
Everybody can.
Okay, I've got an old space Ranger throwing 90,000K. It's in really good shape. What I'm having a problem is, I'm out there. I'm stopped to start the car up. I put it in drive. At 40K, it starts chugging. So I slip it in neutral, put it back in drive. Most times it'll go, and away we go. I've been to three different garages, and they can't figure out what it is. I've done put new wires on, put a new coil pack on it, and I'm dead in the water here.
All right, Dave's got an answer for you. Dave, what do you think it is?
Fuel filter.
Who?
The fuel filter.
Really?
Yeah. I had the same problem. And what happens is that when you put it in neutral, you release the pressure, and it starts moving the fuel again. So swap out the fuel filter.
Yeah, there's two of them in there.
There's one up by the engine and there's one by the tank.
Cheap enough fix. I would get that done first.
Yeah.
If you haven't done it in a long time. I mean, it's not too hard to check either. If you take the filter off and you literally try to blow through it, if it's plugged, you'll be able to tell at that point.
Yeah. And a lot of guys
don't suck, but blow, okay?
Be careful on that one.
Now, Dave, he's a nice guy. So if I take them off, will Dave blow for me?
For sure.
Depends where you are. Okay, we gotta go, guys.
We gotta go. Take care, Bruce.
Leave your number at the board.
You know, since we're on TV now, we gotta be a little more clean. You know, we can't be talking like that.
Well, anyways, let's go to line three.
We're gonna go to line three. We got another fellow named Dave, just like you.
Yes.
Dave, what can we do for you?
Hi there. I got a tire related question. I keep this vehicle in the underground garage. I don't start it up or I don't move it for like maybe a few months.
Uh-huh.
The question is about tires. If they get flat spots or can they be permanent, or if it's sitting there for maybe 3 months at a time, are they, so what's your opinion on that? I don't take any air out of the tire or anything like that when I leave it in the storage.
Okay, hang on.
No, yeah, the flat spots typically are not permanent. Like if you left it there for say a year or you know a lot longer than you're leaving it, they could end up being somewhat permanent. You probably find the first time you drive it after it, you know, you'll feel it, you'll hear it, and then eventually it kind of alleviates. Is that what your typical experience?
That's what I do, the experience.
You should be fine. But what I do, because I've got a car that I park all winter, I typically bring the pressures up to the max pressure of the tire. Because as you know, the max pressure on the tire sidewall isn't what you should have in it when you run the car. So I bring it up, and that kind of helps with the flat spotting.
So I want to ask the question, is there a maximum time that you could do permanent damage to a tire?
No, probably. Like I said, if it sat there for years, you know, it could, but as you know, it does have memory rubber. So once the tire warms up and starts to move, it eventually alleviates.
So what to do, Dave, if you know you're going to be parking it, just go to the local gas station prior, you know, and put in 40, 45 pounds, okay, and just carefully drive it home and park it. You shouldn't have a problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you, then.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, the
Thanks,
sidewall
Dave.
Tells you the max pressure before
the
what
tire.
Before you destroy the tire?
Well, you know, that the pressure that destroys the tire is well.
It's like 100 pounds.
It exceeds that, exactly. But that's the max pressure for that tire.
Right.
But you always set your pressures based on, you know, the placard on your car or the manual.
So when he's parking it, he pumps it up, puts it away.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
he
be better off just to jack up the car?
It's too much more. It's way more work.
Yeah, it's only 3 months.
I heard
you
that's
don't really
not
need
good
to
for the suspension, though, too. I'm not sure you
well, it's just hanging
and
drooping,
that.
Yeah.
That
could be true, yeah. It could be true.
I usually put styrofoam down on the ground, like a big, you know, an inch and a half piece of styrofoam as well. Pump up the tires to 50 PSI, and then I usually have no flat spotting.
What's the foam for?
Well, just, you know, I want my tires to be well-kept and warm. I don't want them on that cold concrete.
Okay. How about a little blanket? Seriously.
Yeah, you could do that, too. Well, there is a blanket for the whole
car.
Well,
I didn't know what the foam was for, you know? You know, half the cars that come in, they got so much garbage in them, eh? Timmy's cups or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Just empty them out. Throw them in the garage and then put the car on top. It's
there
stay
you
nice
go.
And dry.
Mine's in the gutter this morning.
What's ever
the
since
foam for?
Back.
Who knows?
Ever since he's come back from holidays.
I kind of wonder what the foam was for. He had me going, you know? Seriously.
Yeah. One iguana running in Saint Martin. You're talking about foam right now.
You let a guy off, you let him go to holidays, and look what you get back.
No more holidays.
This is Dave's Corner Garage with the most famous mechanic and best looking right here. You're listening to
Alan. God, it's thick. Get a shovel.
And Alan modest, is here too.
Come up at Glen Allen Motors. You can check out my difference anytime.
Dan Park is going to join us after the break. We're going to be talking about ClutchCanada.ca.
Do you have to know to drive a stick shift to buy one of them?
They don't make many stick shifts.
I guess we'll find out. We got to go.
Alrighty, every industry has what's called a disruptor, which is somebody who's come up with a better idea, an easier idea, and Dan Park is one of those guys. Dan's got a company called Clutch, clutch.ca, and apparently you can buy a used car while binging your favorite movie. Dan, good morning, how are you?
Good morning, thanks for having me on the show.
Great, it's called, what's the name of the company is called?
It's called Clutch.
Clutch.ca, that's the website. And we're selling used and new or just used?
Used cars, pre-owned vehicles.
Pre-owned vehicles.
You got it.
Al, you want to talk to them?
Right. Now, if somebody wants to peruse, now, you don't have a lot per se, correct? It's not like I can go down and get a hot dog and watch the Lions and stuff and look at your cars in person. I have to go online, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So we kind of call ourselves the Amazon of cars in the sense that you browse their inventory online, you book a test drive, you bring that test drive right to your door, and then you can buy seamlessly on the web.
So there's no compassion, or there's no, I mean, if I see a car there that, you know, mileage looks good, the car looks good, I guess you have numerous pictures of the vehicle there?
Yeah, exactly. We have really detailed pictures of all our vehicles. We have any wear and tear that might be on the vehicle. We have an immediate real-time download of the Carfax report. All the disclosures, so you have a really good sense of the vehicle that you're getting before you even test drive it.
So yeah, I don't have to leave your credit card number before I decide to say, hey, why don't you bring that car by and love to take it for a ride?
No, you can just book a test drive. One of our concierges will bring it out to your home or office, and you can take it around the block and decide whether or not to purchase it.
Cool. Dan, give us a little history. You started off in Halifax.
Yeah, you got it. We started out in Halifax in 2017. It was a great market for us to start in. Halifax consumers are very open to technology, and a lot of obviously a lot of students and young folks out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then earlier this year, we actually started our operation here in Toronto as well. So we were excited to launch the service in the Greater Toronto Area and offer the product to consumers.
So walk me through this. I'm on your website. I see an SUV that I like. I contact you. You'll bring it by my house, and we'll drive the car, talk about it, go through it. And then happens? You have financing available for this vehicle?
Yep. We have financing, extended warranty with all the major lenders in Canada. If you want peace of mind, we also offer a 7-day no questions asked money back guarantee to ensure that you're getting the vehicle that you want.
Hmm.
Now, the concierge person doesn't bring the contract with them when they bring the car, do they?
No. We settle that all online.
All online. Okay. Yep. And do you have an app, or do we need an app to access it, or not necessarily?
Yeah, you can just access it on the web through clutch.ca.
Mm-hmm.
All our inventory in all of our markets are listed there, and you can click a few buttons and book a test drive, and we'll bring that car right to you.
Did you have problems getting this through OMVIC because you don't have a location?
Yeah, so we are a registered OMVIC dealer, and so we work very closely with OMVIC in order to get registered. We do have a physical location based in Mississauga where we store our cars, and so we can come out and actually use our cars out there.
I understand, because that's one of the criteria from OMVIC is that you have to have a physical location.
You got it, yeah. And so there is a physical location where we store all our cars, and consumers can come by and talk to someone live if they please. But you know, at the end of the day, the comparison I always like to give to consumers is, you know, in the sense that you can walk into a Walmart, look at the shelves and see exactly what you want, check out there. You know, we're very much like the Amazon where you book everything online, and you can absolutely go and see what an Amazon distribution center looks like, but it's not as easy to buy there.
So, Dan, are all the cars centrally located at that one place, or do you have them at different places?
We have them in different locations, so we have partnerships with various entities to make sure that we can get the cars to consumers as quickly as possible.
Now, if somebody's an old-school person and says, you know what, I just want to come out and look at a couple cars, they can physically do that, can they not?
They can do that. We'll do that at our registered location. It's based out of Vaughan.
Mm. So, Dan, how do people get in touch with you?
It's super easy. You can just jump on our website, www.clutch.ca. You can actually chat with one of our representatives right there online. You can call, or you can just visit the website and book a test drive. So very, very, very easy. Almost like anything you buy online is kind of how we're thinking about buying cars.
Fascinating. It's the future. It's sort of come together.
Definitely.
That's right. It's everything's online. It's unbelievable.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way we thought about it is, you know, in Canada, you can pretty much buy anything online. You can buy a refrigerator and get that delivered to your door. You can buy a diamond engagement ring. But the one thing that you can't buy online is actually a car. And once you drive that car off the lot, you don't really care what the dealership looks like. So you want to get all those savings. Ensure that you've got a great vehicle, and so we're trying to offer that to the consumer.
If you found a girl on Tinder, could you arrange for the concierge guy to go pick her up and then bring her over to your house?
Might be a little bit complicated, but I'm sure we'll figure that out.
Not go there, Dan.
That's a value add.
We always put the consumer first. First thing, we always think about the customer, so whatever the customer wants, we'll try to figure it out for them.
Come on, nothing's changed. You got to make the customer happy. Dan, seriously.
Never mind the... Dan, thank you very much. So it's called clutch.ca.
Yes, thanks so much. Appreciate you having me on the show.
Very good. All right, interesting concept.
It's amazing. You can do everything online these days, eh?
But as far as used cars are concerned, I guess he has to go through each one, make sure they're all okay.
Well, exactly. Like a regular lot, they do offer, they do have to go over the vehicle. They have to provide a safety standard certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same as buying it off a lot, except that there's no lot.
By the way, I was talking to my accountant the other day, and he says, if you buy an electric car, if your next car in the future is an electric car and it's under $55,000, you can write off 100% off your income tax.
If you're a business.
If you're a business. Yeah. So if you're a realtor or you've got an independent company, you write it off 100%. In other words, the car costs you half of what you actually spent.
Depending on their bracket.
If you're in that bracket.
Yeah. Well, if you buy a $55,000 car.
Yeah, you're probably going to be in that bracket.
And the same goes for equipment. If you're buying electric hoists, tow motors and stuff, you can write off 100%. The government really wants to push this electric car business. The reality is if everybody had electric, it just wouldn't work because there's just not enough places to charge.
Well, they're increasing them all the time. I mean, as a matter of fact, I just saw something on TV that, or on the interweb, that you can go right across Ontario now and there's charging stations all the way.
Yeah, but that's because there's so few electric cars. When you get there and there's two other guys waiting in line, and now you've blown 3 hours because it takes an hour to at least charge up a little bit. And
well, obviously it's going to happen, you know. But listen, when they changed over from horses to cars, they had to get gas stations. And
I'm thinking hybrids is the right idea.
Well, I heard the grid wouldn't be able to handle it.
Is that true? Yeah, it is true.
If everybody switched to electric cars.
Do you remember GM used to have a car called an Impact way back in the 90s?
Who?
Impact.
Yep.
It was the first car, was battery powered. GM built a bunch of them. And they found out that the transformers in the neighborhoods in California couldn't take the load because at night they basically cool down and regenerate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And in the daytime, the daytime usage is high.
Right.
Now the nighttime usage is high because they're charging all these cars, having brownouts. You're actually correct.
They were
having
those are the ones they all bought back from.
Yeah, they bought them all back and crushed them.
Do you know what some people are doing? They're actually driving to Quebec. Right. And they're buying an electric car because the tax incentive there is higher than it is here in Land of Ford Country.
Yeah.
Douglas, are you listening?
Yeah, but you have to be a resident of Quebec to get to take advantage of it?
No, you can just go and buy it.
Wow.
I'm staying at the Econo Lodge.
And you can have studded tires now. Do you see that coming back in Ontario where manufacturers will make studs in their tires?
No.
Well, the tires are studdable. Okay, and in a lot of cases, I don't remember in the old days, because I remember I worked at a gas station where we had a stud machine.
Yes.
A little gun.
Yep.
But did the tires actually come with the studs, or did you have to put them in?
Well, a lot of the manufacturers now will pre-stud tires for you.
They will be. Yeah. Oh, so the studs are in them.
And you've got to find, not all tires are studdable, just they're studless and they're studdable.
So they got to have the holes in them.
Little pilot holes, for
right. But Al, because you are a stud...
Oh,
you could probably just do it yourself.
Oh, please.
Say,
next thing we're going to talk about if they're already male tires or female tires, you know?
No, but the reality was it was damaging the roads. The studs were damaging the roads because people were spinning the tires and they're cutting grooves at the stop signs.
Yeah, now the studs, if you see studs, they don't damage the roads anymore.
No.
No.
Oh, how did they change them?
They're almost rounded off a little bit. There's an edge around that round off and they stick out maybe 2 to 3 millimeters. There's enough give in the tire, right? So they don't really wreck the roads anymore. But outside of the GTA in Northern Ontario, it might be advantageous to have studded tires. But in Southwestern Ontario, there's really not a need for it.
Now, here's
winter
a question
tires
for
work
you.
Just as fine.
You're only buying two tires.
Why is that?
Because the other two are decent. So you need two tires.
Right.
Where do you put them? Front or back?
Front.
You think front?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm confused. I thought we had to buy four tires.
No, you're not buying snows. You're just replacing two tires.
Okay, let's start again. So we're buying two new tires.
Two new tires.
Two are half-worn.
Yes. This is a game show, just in case you're wondering.
Who's going to win?
Ding, 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 ding. I'm told, actually, that the better tires should be on the back. Not that we do it that way, but I'm told that we do. Because,
I believe, too, yeah.
Right, because, you see, it's the back end that's going to have more of a tendency to come around
on you. Yeah.
And so that's where you want the better tires. Do I do it that way?
No. Yes, and you can have a drink from my bottle.
If you go to Costco, that's probably impossible, wouldn't it?
What's that?
Because you have to buy everything in fours there, don't you?
Pretty much.
I'll have a skid of two tires. Well, you must be Dave Renninger, right? Yeah. Okay.
Spare. Actually, I'm sorry, we're out of stock.
Now that they've changed those studs, are they less noisy? Because they used to be really noisy.
They're still pretty noisy.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So do you sell tires with studs in it?
Yep. Yeah, we do for Quebec and Eastern Canada.
Right, huh?
Yep.
Wow, I didn't know they're still available.
Actually, in mountainous country, too, don't they insist that you have to have them on?
Like out in BC way?
Yeah.
Typically, it's winter tires or chains.
Yeah, chains.
Talk about wrecking the pavement, eh?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chains would make a real big mess.
And trucks all have to chain up, right? So much more weight on that. So that's what I'm saying. Studs aren't going to be an issue for the roads.
Fascinating, because I know they took them off because they were getting grooves cut into the asphalt. Mind you, with all the potholes...
What difference does it make now?
It doesn't matter. I've never seen the road so bad. Potholes
every
everywhere.
Year. Every year, yeah.
No, it's worse and worse and worse, especially if you're driving a smart car. My wife complains her boob spots up.
Well, it's really? Probably because of the swing in temperature.
So I'm not taking her in the car anymore.
Put her in the back seat.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have some questions and some phone calls to take care of. All righty. While we were off there, we got an email in, and its question is from Mary. What is a TPMS?
Tire Pressure Monitoring System.
Want to explain that?
And most cars, all new cars have it now, so it will alert you on the dash when your tires go below a certain amount, a certain pressure.
Right. When we're changing to snows and we're putting them on extra rims, do we have to buy more TPMSs?
Most cars now run it through the rotors or the brakes and everything.
Yeah,
so you don't need to have.
So it's like a tone ring.
Yeah, there's no more sensors.
Is that right?
Yeah, older cars will have still sensors.
You have to check on the vehicle. I mean, you know,
different vehicles.
Yeah, and it certainly makes it less expensive, of course, because you're using the ABS sensor, you know, rather than putting the special tire sensor. But keep in mind too, and this is why if the light comes on, it's amber, it's not red. Okay, so in other words, you don't have to pull over to the side of the road immediately, but you should go in and get them checked because it'll read if your pressure is only down 2 or 3 pounds, that'll put the light on.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, I find it a bit of a pain because what happens is as our wheels get older and the tires get older, they don't seal as well, so they leak quicker. So you get people really ticked off because, you know, I was just in like 3 weeks ago and the light was on and now it's on again. It's a different rim because it takes nothing to be down a couple pounds. And especially, you know, how people drive. A lot of people use the Braille method where they whack the curb, you know.
Yeah.
I'm close enough now. So when you keep whacking that curb, I mean, you're letting air out of the tire.
Yep.
Or at least you're damaging it as well.
It.
So, you know, you don't have to worry about it happening.
Well, the second part of this question is, how easy is it to see when my tire pressure is low? Can you actually see a low tire?
Visually?
Yeah.
You can if it's really low, but, 3, 4, or 5 pounds,
you won't see that. No, that's why you see the early TPMS, the computer in the car, it only knew that there was a tire down. You know, as cars got better, it would specifically say, and a lot of cars right on the dashboard, on the driver information center, it would show you which tire was the low one.
Yep.
And that would only work provided the tires were in the right locations, which is another story.
Yep.
Because you have to tell the computer where that tire is.
Oh, okay.
So you see, if you've rotated your tires, for example, and not reinitiated the sensors, you may be putting air in the wrong tire.
Fascinating.
So in other words, it's telling you the right front is low, when in fact it's not the right front, it's the right rear.
And something else I just gleaned out of this conversation, so if the light is red, that's a serious problem.
Exactly. Right. Most warning lights are like that. So, for example, if your light's coming on and it's a picture of the thermometer or if it's a picture of it says generator, those are reasons that you have to stop immediately.
Yes.
Same thing. If you get a red brake light, you got to stop. Okay. Just pull over to the side of the road immediately. Otherwise, you will certainly do more damage to the engine, to yourself. But if something is amber, it's just trying to get your attention and go, hey, Davey, how you doing? When you get a moment, okay, we got to talk about this.
I want to deal with this.
Yeah.
And green?
Green means go.
Green means go.
And what's blue mean?
Blue means high beams, right?
Means you have your high beams on. Which is another discussion we could get into, you know, is all the people who have no clue that they have a stick to put on the headlights. So, you know, they assume that they come on automatically.
This is something that really bothers Alan all the time.
But they don't.
I hear about it every week.
So you see lots of Chryslers, you see lots of Toyotas, lots of Hondas where people are driving and they have no clue that they have no lights on.
They have no lights on, right. They're running the daytime running lights and everything else in the car is dark.
Then you also have the newer cars that have the really, really, the new lamps that are really bright.
Yes.
And you think, you see them in the rear. Yeah, yeah. You go like, what are you? You know, the bird comes up. We're not sure what species it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then but they don't change. Or the trucks are right behind you and they're flashing and you can't move anywhere.
Yeah.
Because they'll kill you.
I flash guys thinking their brights are on and then they actually put their brights on.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy.
I just saw God.
Yeah.
Exactly. I just saw God on the highway.
Okay. Another question was, what is speed rating?
Speed rating on tires?
All
tires are speed rated. So how they rate tires is based on the construction of the tire, it can go that speed for 24 hours before it actually self-destructs.
So it says here it goes from A to Z.
Yes.
And it ranges from 5 kilometers an hour to 300 kilometers an hour.
Yeah, which I don't know where you're going to be doing that.
But 407, obviously.
Where's a tire? Yeah. What tire is only rated for 5 kilometers an hour?
That would be like on slow-moving equipment and stuff like that, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Like
wheelbarrow.
Yeah, actually, you know, right.
Actually, it is a concern, though, if, especially nowadays, you know, people are driving leased cars. Some manufacturers are very fussy about that. So, in other words, you may have, because a lower speed rating is usually a less expensive tire. And sometimes people will opt for that because yes. they don't want to spend money. But when you go to return a car, I've had where people
yes.
went to return them.
Yes.
And they said, you have the wrong tires on the car. And they go, I just bought them like 6 months ago. There's nothing wrong with them.
Yes.
Yeah, they were wrong speed rating. So that's not rating. Where the car is supposed to run.
So a yeah. Z-rated tire is good for 300 kilometers an hour?
Yes. Yeah.
Not according to the police.
No, like I said, where are you going to use the track? Yes, maybe certain yeah. tracks, but even that, and only certain cars would
could low profile
accomplish that.
Right?
Yeah, there'll be summer tires, high performance, very expensive, very expensive.
Your
tires.
Corvettes, your Corvette,
yeah, Corvettes,
650 horsepower.
Your yes. Ferraris, Ferraris. Yeah. Like you got a Ferrari.
My Ferrari, I don't go further than my CAA card will take me back.
End of the street, right?
No, I can go 200 kilometers.
Yeah, that's it.
That's as far as stuff told me back. Alrighty, when we come back, we have some
stuff to discuss.
Actually, we have some recalls to talk about. Okay. Toyota, Hyundai, and Tesla. They're doing a recall on Teslas, too. Alrighty, we'll be right back. It's Dave's Corner Garage, and there's a call coming in. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back. We're going to go to the phone in just a minute. Three recalls you should know about. Hyundai has recalled a whack of cars because of fuel leaks, mainly around, I think it's the Sonata, where they're having problems with 2013s and 2014 models. 200,000 vehicles are affected. So if you have a Hyundai, I would suggest you contact your dealer and see if you're involved in a recall. Tesla, Model X, apparently the bolts holding the steering in are reacting to the salt and the magnesium stuff we put on our roads. This should be all crowned. But the bottom yes. line is that these bolts are corroding, and you could lose the steering in that vehicle. So if you have a Tesla Model X, contact your service center and make sure they have a look at it. And Toyota is also being recalled for fuel pump issues. 150,000 vehicles are affected. So again, if you have a Toyota brand or a Lexus, contact your dealer and see if you are involved in that recall.
And if you're one of these modern people who want to do everything online, you can go to the manufacturer's website, punch
yes.
in your serial number,
yes,
which is
yes.
that 17-digit number, and it will tell you immediately whether you got to come in or not.
And fuel leaks are no fun because you lose the car.
No, because no. they if the engine's hot enough, you're going to get a fire. So
exactly right. Okay, let's quickly go to the phone and we talk to Milne. Mike.
We got Mike in Collingwood. What can I do for you, Mike?
Yeah, hi. Good morning, guys.
Yes.
What I'm inquiring about, it's kind of a silly question. I've got containers of oil, and I'm talking about the liter containers, that are probably a couple of years old. They've never been opened, so air's never gotten to them. Are these oils still usable, or am I just fooling myself?
You mean you're talking about whether they've degraded because they're old?
Well, yeah, I guess that's my point.
No, there's no. You can use them.
Oh, okay, because that was my concern is that, like, I could see if maybe the air has gotten to them.
Shouldn't make any difference.
There's contamination in that, but as long as they're sealed, they're obviously they're not good forever. But according to you, they seem to be in great shape then.
Yeah, the only issue would be is if you know they see if you look at the top of an oil can or an oil container, there's going to have ratings on it, okay, and those ratings are by the API, the American Petroleum Institute.
Okay,
and if you have a newer car and it's under warranty and you've got oil that's 20 years old, it's probably not going to be compatible.
Right.
No.
Okay, but in terms of just, you know, getting old because it's old, it shouldn't make a difference.
Go to your owner's manual, and you'll see the requirements for your engine. All right?
Right.
It's a letter G or F or M or whatever in a circle. And then go to your oil can and see if it's compatible.
Yeah. Can I ask you one other side question?
You've got to be quick because we're running out of time.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm a senior. I only use my car basically once a week, especially in the wintertime.
Uh-huh.
And what I find when I start the car in the wintertime, there's a quarter inch, or not a quarter inch, there's an eighth inch hole in the hole. It's by the manufacturer. I own a Chrysler 300. There's all kinds of moisture coming out of the muffler.
It's okay.
That's totally normal.
Okay, because I was concerned. I says, where's all this water coming from?
No, it's one of the byproducts of combustion. But nothing wrong, and they purposely put that hole in there to drain that water.
Yep.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Got to run.
I appreciate it, and thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
You know that when they go to hydrogen, they'll be pouring water out of the back because that's the byproduct of hydrogen.
And there's nothing wrong with that, no.
And then I saw on the internet there are hydrogen-powered cars available.
There is. Yeah. Toyota's got them, yeah. Honda, I think Honda as well.
Where do you fuel?
And they think that's where it's going to go.
Where are they going to load them up? I mean, I haven't seen any gas stations around here.
Well, not out of yet. Good question. I don't know. There must be someplace.
I mean, I had a propane car. Remember they used to have propane?
Yeah, used
to run that for a while.
Well, there has to be a refill station somewhere.
Imagine so.
That was supposed to be the new big thing, right? All the limo companies were using propane.
Yes.
And then... where'd that go?
Well, because, you know, it's not as powerful as gasoline.
Uber, that's true, yeah.
And you didn't get the range. So, and then we went to natural gas, had one of those, and you only went 100 kilometers on a fill.
Mm-hmm.
So that was no good, because then it flipped back to gasoline, right?
And so how much of a difference is there between an unleaded gas and they go the medium brand, where it says better for your car? Al, what do you think about that?
I think... certainly, if your car is designed to run on regular gas, there's no advantage really to go to a higher octane rating because you're just wasting money.
If you have a BMW, like Darren, what are you using your
high?
Yeah,
but his car calls for super gas or premium gas. It'll say right on the gas door normally when you open it up.
And we've seen the tenacity of him driving, so you need the efficiency of that fuel.
You know, it's
couple
interesting.
Horsepower.
Yeah, a couple horsepower.
I own a gas station. When I built it, we have only two tanks. We've got regular and super.
Mm-hmm.
And then we mix it for medium grade.
Oh, so that's how you do your own blending right there.
The pump actually blends it as it delivers the fuel.
Do you make your scotch up there like that too?
We don't have scotch.
Oh, you don't?
No, I'm Jewish.
They don't have single malt?
What is that supposed to mean? You know, a single malt medium grade?
Single malt.
I'll have a 12-year-old unleaded, please.
You know, speaking of which, I still have 50-year-old liquor from our wedding, which was 47 years ago, and the bottle has gone down, but it's closed. What's that all about?
Ask the guy who's got problems with his tailpipe leaking with moisture.
That would have been the teenagers.
The kids.
Teenagers drinking it, filling it back
it's
up.
It's called poison.
No, I think it just evaporates through the cork.
It does.
Or it could be one of your sons saying, let's just see if this is still tasteable.
All right, Darren, when's the weather's been warming up? When do you think we'll be safe getting the tires off?
When we start to see consistent 7 degrees and up.
All right, so in other words...
Hopefully soon.
So the temperature is consistently over 70 degrees.
Yeah.
By all means, put on the all-season tires.
Yep.
Yeah, right, cool. And... you know what? With the insurance complication, I'd rather be later than sooner.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you want to find out any more about Sale and Tire, of course, you can go to the website.
SaleandTires.ca.
They got some great videos there, you know, where they're doing comparison shopping between the top end and the less expensive, and they're just as good.
Go to our website, DaveCornerGarage.com, and there's usually an article there from Salen, written by Darren, which I've gleaned out of some magazine that he's written for.
Oh, boy.
Anyways, keep the shiny side up. Darren, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Alan, as usual.
That's fun. And, you know, get that car in, get it checked out. Sooner the better.
And the audience, thank you.
Much, much appreciated there, Dave.
And have a great weekend. Remember to turn the clocks forward.
Spring Which ahead. Makes no sense at all.
Spring ahead.
Spring forward, ahead. Fall back.
Fall back.
Bye-bye, everybody.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.